And may I thank the organizers for putting together this conference and giving me the opportunity to speak. And it also seems appropriate to acknowledge a certain debt I owe to Jack Morava, as it seems I've spent the last 3 years trying to understand some of the things Jack has said, and it also says I'm going to spend the next 3 years also trying to understand some of the things Jack has said. So, I wasn't going to say that, Jack, but... But maybe this is an example of how even when Jack is technically wrong, he's also incredibly right. Right. So the title of my talk is A Construction of a Dirac Operator on Loop Space. And the goal of this, which is sort of an elaboration of the title, but they wouldn't let me put so many words in the title, so I had to cut it down a little bit, is to construct construct an operator over a suitable, namely, suitable loop space, namely the loop space, free loop space of a string manifold, which is the analog, or an analog, maybe would be more correct, of the standard Dirac operator. On a finite dimensional spin manifold. So the problem can be described as follows. So let M be a finite dimensional, let's say even dimensional, closed manifold with extra structure. I'm not going to go into any details of what that extra structure is, although I will just say one piece is a Riemannian structure and let X be either M or L of M. So yes, technically I need different structure whether I'm considering M or its loop space, and here I'm talking about the smooth loops, smooth free loop space of the manifold. Then we can construct certain bundles, S plus minus over X, modeled on Hilbert space, complex Hilbert space, finite dimensional Hilbert space in the finite dimensional case, infinite dimensional in the infinite dimensional case. These are spinner bundles. We also get a connection. I'm only interested in the connection on S plus. And Clifford multiplication. Which I'm going to write as a map from the tensor product of the tangent space with S plus to S minus. So 5-wise linear. Often really thought of as a 5-wise bilinear map from the direct product, but we can extend it by linearity over the algebraic tensor product. So we want to define the Dirac operator to be the composition of the connection with Clifford multiplication. and this will go from sections of S plus to sections of S minus. Now, to actually define this, one needs an intermediate step. The domain of the connection is sections on this, and the codomain of the Clifford multiplication, when extended to sections, is certainly this. But you can't directly compose the two, because the codomain of the connection is not quite the domain of Clifford multiplication. So to expand out the middle step, we actually have sections of this bundle, and then the connection takes us to Hom tangent space S plus, and we want to end up in tensor product in order to compose the Clifford multiplication. So we need a map between these two spaces, and there is a map, a very natural map, but it goes that way. Now, this map alpha is, one can think of it in the following terms. If I just have an inner product space tensor, some arbitrary vector space, then the inner product gives me a map to the dual, and then I have a natural inclusion of that into homomorphisms from V to W. So that's just standard linear algebra. And the thing is that in finite dimensions, when I'm on M, then alpha is in fact an isomorphism. So, of course, I can invert it and take the composition, the Dirac operator connection, inverse of alpha, Clifford multiplication. In the infinite dimensional case with the loop space, not a hope. Nowhere near an isomorphism. And also, there's no even sort of faint hope that the codomain of the connection would be happen to lie in the image of alpha. It's very simple to just construct, even just locally, sections of this that will get well outside the range of alpha. So to get around this, the idea is to construct a map beta going the other way, such that when I'm in the finite dimensional case, beta is alpha inverse. There is no way to construct alpha inverse directly. There is no inverse to alpha. So this is the sort of next best hope. So that's what I plan to. Excuse me. What I plan to do in this talk. The outline of the talk, that was all by way of introduction. Since one version of the title of this conference, and certainly the version that appears on my name card, includes the phrase geometry of loop spaces, I thought I'd better talk a bit about that. And then secondly, how to construct, from this consideration of the geometry, how to construct beta. So let me start with the geometry of LM. So, look again at alpha, the first part of alpha, V to V star. Now this is a very useful tool in geometry, although often goes fairly unremarked, and it's related to, or in fact directly is, the raising and lowering of indices in Riemannian geometry. So the first part of alpha is, let me get it the right way around, it's actually raising of indices. So recall that the metric on M, the Riemannian structure on M, allows this raising and lowering via the identification of the tangent and cotangent bundles, and therefore sections, vector fields with one forms, and allows you to, this is just sort of a random example, if you had some tensor, A, I1, I2, J, that would be equivalent to A, I1, I2, J, also equivalent to, you can have them upstairs as well as downstairs. We don't, on a Riemannian manifold, we don't care whether we have the indices up, down, left, right, or center. They're all the same. Now, on the loop space, we have a metric. It's been a very long time since I've used boards going up and down, so I'm still not totally okay with how one is supposed to use them to keep everything in display. So, as I was saying, the metric on M gives a metric on the loop space. The inner product on the tangent spaces give inner products on tangent spaces of the loop space. It's a very simple formula. I'll just write down. Remind you, if I take the tangent space at a loop, this can be thought of as sections over the circle of the pullback of the tangent bundle of the manifold. That's a fairly easy result. So if I have two tangent vectors at gamma, then evaluating them at time t, I get two tangent vectors in the manifold above the appropriate point in the original loop. So I can use the inner product on this space applied to these two vectors . This makes sense. And then that is now a function of t, which I integrate to give the inner product. So that defines the inner product of the two vectors on the loop space just to be the integral of this function. And one can check that's a well-defined inner product on the tangent spaces of the loop space. Now, using this, one would like to be able to raise and lower indices in a similar way to the original manifold, but you can't. You can only, I hope I've got this the right way around, you can only raise indices. No lowering allowed. This is because the inner product gives an injection from the tangent space to its dual cotangent space, but this is not an isomorphism. Could only be an isomorphism if these two were Hilbert spaces, but they're not. Space on the left is smooth, modeled on smooth loops in Rn. Space on the right is distributions. The two are very, very different. Now, in finite dimensions, one way to think of the lowering indices is via an inner product on the cotangent space. The inner product on the tangent space gives one on the cotangent space precisely because the two are isomorphic via the original inner product on the tangent space. So to construct a lowering operator on the loop space, one could look for an inner product on this cotangent space. And that is precisely what we do. So, to lower indices, look for an inner product on cotangent spaces. And note that this is sort of automatic in the finite dimensional case. The analogy, you don't need to look for it in the finite dimensional case because it's already there. Linear functionals on the tangent space, so distributions. So one way to think of an inner product as a continuous injection, and I put in brackets because it's not essential, but it's often it doesn't add any the restrictions of dense image into a fixed or standard Hilbert space. So I'm considering part of the data of Hilbert space as being its an inner product, rather than just an equivalence class. So we look for a Hilbert bundle over the loop space, and a continuous injection of each cotangent fiber into the Hilbert bundle, and then also some nice sort of compatibility as we move over the loop space. And dense image, and so forth. as possibly motivating example, look at the tangent space. We can fiberwise complete the tangent space of the loop space to these L2 sections, and we get that the tangent space of the loop space is contained in T, and no idea what standard notation of this is, I haven't yet to find it, but T2, that looks like it's the tangent space of the tangent space, so let me put it downstairs. So this mirrors smooth loops contained in L2 functions from the circle to Rn. So, yes. I mean, it means maps to the tangent space that in fibers are L2. And one can make... The best way of writing this down is using principal bundles and representations of the principal structure group of the loop space on a Hilbert space, but just think of it sort of fiber-wise. We have this is the smooth loops in Rn, and this is the L2 loops. So that's the sort of thing I'm trying to do, but with the cotangent bundle. Right. Now, purely for notational simplicity and not for any technical reasons, I really want to just consider the complex case. So complexify for simplicity. Just because it's slightly easier to write down some of the spaces in terms of complex loops on complex spaces rather than real spaces. So in that, if I complexify, then this is smooth loops on C contained in L2 loops, so on Cn, and we're looking for the equivalent on the dual contained in something. Now, being very careful to make sure that I'm allowed to do this, I'm going to dualize the question. Instead of looking for a Hilbert sort of enveloping space of the distributions, I want to look for a Hilbert subspace of smooth loops. So, dualizing, look for some H contained in smooth loops, which is dense, as it's written as a subspace, then it has to be injective, but also want a dense image. The reason for dualizing is because distributions one tends to think of as being fairly big and already, and looking for something even bigger I find particularly confusing, whereas looking for something smaller than smooth loops is sort of more intuitive. No, I've dualized the inclusion. I'm looking for something bigger than this, so I dualize both sides, and I then swap the inclusion. And, that's what I said about being very careful, is this is a reflexive space, so I can dualize and get back where I started. And the reason, as well as being sort of more intuitive, well, one can see lots of subspaces already in smooth loops. We've actually had one of the most important several times already today, albeit in various different guises. So we have this nice long chain, of which I'm only going to write out a few terms, being as there are uncountably many. Long chain of inclusions, starting with the polynomial loops, So these are the ones that are just Lorentz polynomials. I guess I've written the case for n equals 1 there. The finite linear combinations of the Lorentz polynomials. Inside that, or that sits inside rather, and if you're taking notes, you might leave a gap there. That sits inside analytic loops, so those that extend somewhere over some annulus, something holomorphic. And then that sits inside smooth loops, which then, just to complete the picture, sits inside L2 loops. So none of those, apart from the one at the end, which doesn't count as it's a bigger space than smooth loops, none of those is a Hilbert space. But there are a fair few Hilbert spaces in between these two that one can easily describe, which I'll write L2, R, CN. These are loops in CN which extend holomorphically over an annulus of radius R, R inverse. With L2 conditions on the boundary. So that's what I'm looking for. Sub-Hilbert space. The only problem now is to construct it fiberwise over the loop space. Now this is a non-trivial problem, or at least it looked when I first considered it looked like a non-trivial problem, because the structure group of the tangent space, the loop space, is smooth loops on UN or, well, complexified to, yeah, UN or GLNC. And there is no sub-Hilbert space of loops on CN preserved by that structure group. So I have to modify my structure group. Fortunately, this does not present a problem because of very nice key fact, which I first came across in Preston and Siegel loop groups. I don't know that they claimed it originally as theirs. Maybe someone can set me right on that. But is that the polynomial loops in UN is homotopically equivalent to smooth loops. And polynomial loops, very old. Right. I suspected it probably wasn't originally them, but I feel I should plug that book in every talk I give, so there was my plug for loop groups, as second only to Jack Morava. That's the influence on my mathematics. Anyway, plugs aside, polynomial loops, of course, acts on polynomial loops in UN acts on polynomial loops in CN. So if I reduce my structure group to polynomial loops, then I can construct this, a bundle modeled on polynomial loops, and then do some sort of fiberwise completion to these L2R loops. So, and putting that in slightly more, ever so slightly more concrete terms, not very concrete terms. So we take Xi from M to B U N, classifying the complexified tangent space of the manifold, loop it, and unlike, what was it, F and T, L and B do commute, so that is the classifying space of B, L, U, N, and that classifies tangent space from complexified of the free loop space, and then use this, using this fact, classifying, and here's another one where I don't have a good notation yet, T pol C L M. So that at least tells me it's possible, although it doesn't give an explicit construction. And topology being very broad seems to range from the algebraic to the geometric, and I do tend to lean slightly more towards the geometric, so I always like explicit constructions wherever I can find them. And fortunately, I can actually give you an explicit construction of this bundle. And this is where Jack's influence comes in, as it's sort of based on an idea of his, I think, at least 4 years, 3 or 4 years ago. Now, the sort of clue comes from the fact of these maps, that the bundle is really classified by homotopy classes, but if I throw a connection in, then I start getting more explicit maps. So if I use a connection on the manifold, maybe I can get an explicit construction of this bundle here. So take a connection on the manifold, and as I originally had a Riemannian structure there, then there's an obvious connection to use. So let Nabla be the Liebig-Civita connection on M, which I've already used that as the spin connection, so let me decorate it myself. Yeah, I'm not actually going to use this one symbol that much. The key thing I am going to use is the fact that for a loop, smooth loop, we get an operator D sub gamma from sections of the pullback to itself. Loop space of the loop space would be a very big manifold. I'm not quite ready for that yet. Now, it's a standard construction in Riemannian geometry, so I don't give any details. But the way to think of this is as d by dt, is working out sort of what making sense of d by dt coherently over the manifold. And if you consider d by dt acting on smooth loops on Cn, then these z, that should have been a z inverse, and higher powers, these are precisely the eigenvectors of d by dt. So L pol Cn is spanned by the eigenvectors of d by dt. So to construct the analogous bundle over the loop space, I just take the linear span of the eigenvectors of d gamma. So define t pole complexified at gamma loop space to be the linear span, the finite linear span of the eigenvectors of d gamma. So then there's a theorem which says that this is a vector bundle modeled on L pole Cn. And there is a bundle inclusion G pole C L M. Sorry, that's 1/5 of the whole thing is the vector bundle into the tangent space. Which on fibers is the natural inclusion of polynomial loops and smooth loops. So, X on fibers so the steps in proving this are there's several steps, none of them particularly difficult, but first of all, you've got to show that the fiber genuinely looks like polynomial loops on Cn. And it doesn't do any funny changes of dimension or anything like that. And then you want to show it's a genuine vector bundle, that one can trivialize it locally. And then finally, the inclusion. So none of those steps is particularly difficult nor particularly enlightening, so I shan't deal with them here. But note that its structure group is polynomial loops on UN. Now one can construct the associated principal bundle directly from the principal bundle of smooth loops in a very similar manner. The exact sort of properties of all the construction is not something I've explicitly written down, and I find if I don't write something down, I haven't truly thought about it. But because this is invariant under parameterization. Right. Right, I see what you mean. You do get the circle action, certainly. I haven't looked at all the ramifications, the properties yet. Right. So, with this bundle, the next step is to construct this one. And the way to do that is just to give an inner product here with respect to which one can complete that looks locally like this inclusion. So, that is now fairly straightforward. And this is where the main choice comes in this whole construction. And one has sort of already chosen the Levi-Civita connection, but in a way that was already there for you to use, so that didn't really involve much choosing. But in constructing this in a product, there is a choice to be made. But it's a choice that one can make once for all. There's no, once you've decided once which inner product you're going to use, then you don't, it's independent of the manifold, the formulation. So it doesn't seem too restrictive. And plus, all choices are essentially equivalent, so it doesn't seem too much of a restriction. So define this operator cosine d gamma just to be the correct power series. And I hope I can remember the power series for cosine. I've probably got a minus one wrong. No one's calling out that I've got a sign wrong there, so either everyone else has forgotten their cosine expansion or I've got it right. And define the inner product on cpol gamma clm by alpha beta is the usual inner product on the smooth loops, but applied to cosine d gamma. Gamma beta. So I guess this is all happening at gamma. So what's going on here? Well, I mean the eigenvalues of d gamma are basically unbounded, but they're not unbounded enough. I want them more unbounded in order to define a sort of smaller Hilbert space. So, but they're also imaginary, so this is really sort of cosine on the imaginary axis, as it were. So this is sort of making the eigenvalues even further unbounded, plus getting rid of the niggling problem that some of these eigenvalues may be zero. So it avoids that problem, and so defines an inner product with all the properties that I need. So, proposition, the corresponding Hilbert completion, five-wide Hilbert completion is supposed to be completion, dualizes to a Hilbert space or Hilbert bundle containing the cotangent space. And for those who are interested, remember that the Hilbert space I was looking for, that I think I've just erased or just covered up, was L2RCN, extend over an annulus of some radius. The annulus has radius 1 over EE in this case, which seems a fairly natural, well, I guess not, no choice is particularly more natural than any other, but E seems as good a number as any. I complete the polynomials to some Hilbert bundle, but that still lies within the smooth loop space, the smooth loops. So that's the inclusion I dualize. This Hilbert bundle inside smooth loops dualizes to distributions inside some vast, enormous Hilbert space. So I completed polynomial loops to something that looks like, if I still got it down here, I've completed it to something that looks like that on fibers. R is some parameter. It's the radius of an annulus. On fibers. If you look at the fiberwise situation, then the fiber of the polynomial tangent space looks like that, and the fiber of when I complete it using this in a product, that's an R. But I just said that's a gamma. Sorry, my R's and my gammas are confusing. Okay, let me make that one an S. Yes. Yeah. Depending on whether you take the parameter to be the inner or the outer radius. Right. So that's this sort of trying to avoid the phrase superspace as a complement of subspace, but it's the kind of enveloping Hilbert bundle of the cotangent space. So that's the kind of, that basically the geometry part. In finite case dimensions, geometry is purely controlled by a metric on the tangent space, but there's this metric in a product on the cotangent space there for free. In the loop space, it's not there, so I say you have to put it there to allow some of the constructions one wants to do in finite dimensions to carry through in infinite. Right, so second part, construction of beta. Now, in one sense, one can just do the obvious thing and one now has the inner product on the cotangent space and use that to construct the inverse of, or not the inverse, the appropriate map directly without too much extra trouble. However, there's a sort of slightly a different viewpoint. You end up with the same thing, but a slightly different way to go about this, which I quite like, which is to do with the fact that the inner product on the tangent space of the loop space has already been used in constructing the spinner bundles, the Clifford multiplication, all this data. And now, to construct the Dirac operator, I need the inner product on the cotangent space. So I have these two inner products there, and in finite dimensions, I only had one. Well, I can't get rid of the one on the cotangent space because I need it in order to construct my downwards map. But I can actually get rid of the one on the tangent space. It's really a different viewpoint because I'm not really doing anything different, but it just sort of seems to reduce the number of things flying around by one. So, in order to do this, I need the following sort of, we'll use a few words that will only mean anything to people in this area, but it basically says that I can get rid of the inner product on the tangent space. This completion, which I'll just denote with a tilde for now, so is a spin res bundle. So what that means is that I can construct the spinner bundles, these S plus, S minus, directly from this with the inner product I've defined and not having to deal with the tangent space at all. But to sort of show that I haven't really done a lot, the associated spin bundles, S plus or minus T star, are isomorphic to the original ones. Yes, I mean, I guess, but I'm assuming I could construct the spin bundles in off the tangent space anyway. That was kind of hidden in my extra structure assumed right at the beginning. So I guess one way to phrase the proposition would be anything I can do to the tangent bundle, I can do to the cotangent bundle. The Clifford multiplication map is now cotangent space tensor S plus to S minus. That's basically the point of doing it to the cotangent space rather than the tangent space. That's still not quite the domain of the codomain of the connection. Codomain of the connection, remember, is linear maps from the tangent space to S plus. But it's almost there. So technical lemma, firstly, C extends to a suitable completion. C star LM put it with a tilde over it. That, I mean, for those who know about tensor products, I'm taking the projective tensor products, but it turns out it doesn't actually make any difference. And the second part of technical lemma is that this tensor product is actually precisely what I want it to be. There are any functional analysis snuck in. The crucial fact here is that the tangent space is a separable nuclear, separable doesn't actually count, is a nuclear reflexive complete space, and S plus is modeled on a Hilbert space. And so this is basically reflecting the fact that all linear maps from a nuclear space to a Hilbert space are nuclear. So there's the funny words for today. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, but then I can restrict to the cotangent space. And so we can define C bar sections of S plus. Use a connection T L M plus isomorphic sections T star L M complete the tensor product S plus flip and multiply S minus. These are all T star, and because of well, this proposition actually nothing to do with that proposition. And just to note, in the finite dimensional case, using the cotangent bundle in this way, makes no difference whatsoever. Right. So, in conclusion, as Nietzsche has already exposed, I don't know many of the properties of this operator yet. That is, as I would say, sort of ongoing work. But there is a way to construct an operator over the free loop space of an appropriate manifold, which is analogous in the best way that I can think of to the standard Dirac operator of a spin manifold. So, thank you for listening.